From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Up first on this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight, we head to the Earl Ingram Show, where Earl was joined by Kirk Bangstad to talk about activism through alcohol.
Yeah, it has been a hard day's night, right?
You can see the pudginess in my face, and the bloodshot eyes, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a hard day's night for my guests. Good morning. Oh, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So I am joined by Mr. Kurt Bangstad of the Minocqua Brewing Company.
You got it.
And Mr. Matt Grove.
Yes.
Of what's
our company's Equality Vines.
Equality Vines.
Right. So cause-based wine company.
Cause-based wine company. So last night, I was given kind of an opportunity of a lifetime to come hang out with some really cool guys. And so we've got them on the air this morning. You know, it's my first wine tasting.
Well, we got after it yesterday. We got to get some good wines.
Your first one, Earl, we got to get you to a lot more. It's the spice of life, my friend.
Yeah, you know, met some really, really nice people, man.
We had and a
I want to thank you guys
there.
For that.
Yeah, we had some brilliant people, some Milwaukee's finest were there. Judge Mosley.
Oh yeah.
Larry and James.
Heisel.
Larry Heisel, Milwaukee Brewer.
Yeah.
I brought it up for you, Earl. Brought the A team.
let me ask you guys. You guys are in the brewing and winery business. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to tell you that's a pretty broad market. There's a lot of competition in that market. Tell us a little bit, Kurt. You've been in the brewery business for how long?
So I brought my wife, actually, when she was diagnosed with cancer, from New York back to Wisconsin, as so many Wisconsinites do. When push comes to shove and you got to get close to family, you do that. So I moved back to Wisconsin, and we ultimately ended up vacationing in Minocqua, and I ended up falling in love with this place. I had a stage, and I'm really into music, and so I bought the Minocqua Brewing Company in 2016, but our current incarnation with, you know, selling the beer and kind of being progressive beer happened after COVID, because it threw so many brew pubs and breweries and the whole hospitality industry into a tailspin. So I pivoted and I started I was just so frustrated with the politics of the time that I started making beer with my own feelings right on the sleeve of the beer, which is progressive.
So did you know anything about brewing beer before? Why did you choose that?
I didn't know. I ultimately lived in that town because my wife, once we visited there, and we were close enough to my family, which lives in Stevens Point. Once she visited, she's like, Kirk, we're staying here. You know, she didn't have a lot of time left, and we bought a house on a lake, and she always just wanted to kind of be peaceful. And so once we figured Minocqua was going to be where we're going to kind of stick around, you got to be in the tourism industry, or you got to do something in hospitality. That's all that Minocqua is. So no, didn't know anything about brewing. Didn't anything about running a restaurant. I've learned a lot. I still hire brewers. I can't call myself a brewer, but I've been shoveling the spent grain, and I clean the tanks, and I'm like the sidekick to a lot of these guys.
Right.
But I'm not an artist like these guys are.
And this guy here, Matt Grove, man, I was really blown away by your story. You used to be cannon fodder for a good friend of ours, Judge Derek Mosley, on the basketball court. Huh?
Judge Mosley and I grew up together on the south side of Chicago, and we both got away and followed our passions and have brought us back full circle. Our lives are kind of come back together here as I've introduced my wines here to the Wisconsin market.
Well, it's just to be able to reconnect with the childhood person and friend, yeah, got to be invaluable, right?
We hadn't seen each other in 30 years.
Oh, really? Before last night?
Yeah. So there were big hugs and lots of toasting. And yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Matt Grove. I mean, you live in San Diego.
I do. I live in San Diego.
Some of us dream of having the opportunity to live in a place that is listed as one of the greatest places in the entire world to live.
It's certainly easy living in San Diego.
Yeah.
But I do have a commute. I commute about every other week up to the Russian River Valley, which is about an hour and a half north of San Francisco. And that's where most of my vineyards, that vineyard owners and winemakers are, and that's where we have our presence, our wine shop and tasting room.
Well, you are an entrepreneur, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, your travels and how you got into all the different things, that led you to where you are now.
So we chatted a little bit yesterday. I co-founded the first organic beef company in the U.S. in the early 2000s. So I went from supply chain tech to producing organic beef, and we grew that business very, very quickly. Did all the organic beef for Costco nationwide and other big retailers. We were the biggest organic beef company going. Sold that and became passionate about wine from a mentor of mine in the Bay Area, and started a wine company based out of South Africa, of all places, doing just retail wine, large production, 2,500 case production, a little bit unfulfilling. And then in 2013, my Aunt Marilyn passed away, Dr. Marilyn Schultz, and her death kind of inspired me to follow my passion. And I started a wine company based around, for me, equality. And at that time, the fight for gay marriage was real. And that's how I met my business partner, the lead plaintiff in the Supreme Court decision, Obergefell v. Hodges. Jim Obergefell is my co-founder. We met in 2015 and had this vision to start a wine and donate a lot of money along the way.
So, you know, wine. Is something you've always loved, wine, or just?
I came into it when I had a mentor of mine that was a beef distributor in the Bay Area, a gentleman by the name of Bala Karande from Uganda. And I'll never forget, he says, Matt, your beef is the Cadillac of beef, and you drink light beer. And he was so dismissive, and he took me up to Napa and really opened my eyes and introduced me, taught me how to enjoy wine, how to pair wine with food. And so I owe everything, really, my passion for wine to Bala Karande. And from that point on, I was hooked.
You know, Calvin, I think the call was probably from Larry Heisel Jr. So Larry Heisel Jr., if you're out there, call in right now. We'll add you to this growing list of entrepreneurs who, you know, are doing some great things in our community. I want to go back before we bring James Burnett in. I want to go back to Kurt, how you brought this band of brothers together.
So you know Earl and I, you know, we've actually hung out before in, you know, kind of the progressive media
circles. Yeah, you and I, yeah.
And so, you know, I've been doing this beer now for about 4 years. So, you know, Biden beer, which is inoffensive and not bitter. You know, that's the tagline. So we've been doing Democratic stuff and progressive stuff. And but I needed a wine because I was 70% of the people who follow me on social media or follow my company are women over the age of 35. And so I'm kind of making the wrong liquid because, you know, the stats show that that demographic drinks a lot more wine than they do beer. And I was making a reproductive rights beer called Choice, and it wasn't selling very well. And I was trying to donate some of the profits to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. And so I was kind of just talking about this so much. Like, I need a wine company. And I met somebody, and I was doing a beer tasting down in Evanston, Illinois, who knew Matt they put us together. So we quickly became friends. They're doing exactly the same thing that I'm not exactly, but you know, our goals are very similar in terms of our company. We want to sell great alcoholic beverages, but we also want to make a difference. We want to leave our mark, and we want to do progressive cause-based booze. So I met him, we became friends, and then all of a sudden, it's hard for me to get a distributor in Wisconsin because I'm kind of a firebrand, and these distributors are worried that I'm going to somehow like taint, you know, their company with my liberalness. And so it's not been easy. And most of these companies are really entrenched. I mean, they've been around for like 100 years, you know, they're typically more on the conservative side. So I read in the Milwaukee Journal that this new company was starting up called Big League Distributing. And a friend of mine who was in, you know, kind of Milwaukee political circles knew James from the Milwaukee Journal because he was a reporter there. And he said, Kirk, you should give these guys a call. Doesn't look like they're from all the same families that kind of run the distribution stuff in Wisconsin. Maybe these guys might give you a shot. So that's why I just reached out to James, and now we're all here.
Heaven forbid a dyed-in-the-wood liberal. Yeah, well, you know, let me do this. 844-967-2789. Do you have any non-alcoholic beers or wine? Matt from Germantown.
Yeah, we just released, you know, it's so funny, I've got it in my car. It's called Nope, and it's got a picture of Donald Trump with a clown nose in the O, and it's a lemon-lime sparkling water. We just did that. It's the first time we've done something non-alcoholic. We did it to put a little mini billboard in every store we possibly can that says Wisconsin says nope to Donald Trump.
All right. 844. Oh, let's try that again. 844-967-2789 is the number. I am joined by three great guys that I got a chance to meet on last night. And Mr. Matt Grove, James Burnett, and Luciano Pavarotti. Oh, Kurt Bengstad.
I was trying to serenade your wife last night. You weren't supposed to be paying attention.
They are the proprietors of Equality, a new wine manufacturer. They've got some great stories. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head to a segment from Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, where Pat plays some of the clips from the Atlanta rally held by Vice President Kamala Harris this week.
Today's history lesson is coming up in about 30 minutes, but we can tell you that Orleans released this little tune, Still the One, on this day in 1976. And then it stuck around forever because ABC grabbed it as their, remember when all those promos they ran in the late 70s, and then their thing was Still the One, or Still the One You Watch. ABC was so big back in the day, and then so was not.
Also, Pat, I don't remember, I was two.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't expect you to. When I say remember, I'm talking to the other elders that are out there.
Oh, I see.
Roger now responding that Sister Christian was the hot song when they graduated 40 years ago, and that the reunion for Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School is in 9 days.
Oh, wow.
So have a wonderful reunion. But it is also a classic 80s song, and there were so many songs like this that they kind of have this bit of a slow start. And so some people actually tried to go out onto the dance floor. But then, of course, you know, it starts, and then the drums come, dun, 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 motor in, and people are standing on the dance floor going, are we supposed to dance to this part now? And it's awkward, and they go back to their table. And like I said, there are many songs like that, but I have fun watching sometimes, like, oh, no, don't go out on the floor to that one. Oh, you look awkward now. Oh,
you've never heard Sister Christian? You don't know what's about to happen?
I guess they hear the slow parts and go, oh, let's go dance to that. No, let's not. But from what I understand now, the kids, they don't go out dancing anyway. There are no, are there any dance floors out there anymore? I go to some of the places we used to hang out. They've long since taken the dance floors out.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say, because like when you're growing up in your teens and your 20s, like, let's go out dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the thing. Yeah. Like when you were a kid, you said, let's go play. And dancing just meant you go dancing. And now I don't mm-hmm. know if I've ever heard anyone say that. Interesting.
I don't either. Huh. I mean, if George Michael were here and saying, you know, wake me up before you go, would they know we're talking about taking me dancing tonight? No, probably wouldn't. Kids, you don't know what you're missing. All right, let's get to unpacking some of the news here. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Atlanta yesterday, but before that rally came a big announcement, and Wisconsin plays a role in it. The vice president's campaign putting out a statement saying that the presumptive Democratic nominee will shortly announce her running mate, and that she and her running mate will make their first appearance in Philadelphia at a rally next Tuesday, and then will hit several locations over the next 4 days. And all it said on there was including Western Wisconsin. So again, Wisconsin, a very high priority. I saw that, Greg, when I was sitting on the couch watching the Olympics, and as usual, I spent a little too much time at my desk, and I said, okay, I'm done now. Now I'm just going to sit, and I'm going to watch the Olympics, and I'm all done, you know, with trying to come up with, you know, guests and stories and things. And then up comes this note from Politico, breaking the story, where it says that Harris says she and her running mate will barnstorm cities in 7 swing states over 4 days, hitting Detroit, Raleigh, Savannah, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Western Wisconsin. And I just kind of hung my head. I said, sure, I got to go back to my desk. I have to go get the word out about this.
This is why you shouldn't buy a big screen. You're talking about buying a bigger monitor for yourself, because what's going to happen, you're going to be watching television, then you're going to turn it off, go right back to work, and be sitting in the same place the entire time.
Basically. Yeah. Yes. But of course, right away, the speculation was like, well, wait, if she says her first rally is on Tuesday in Philadelphia, is she tipping her hand? Does this mean it's going to be Josh Shapiro? Which I think that's too obvious. Again, what's the thing? Occam's razor. Sometimes it is the thing that seems most likely.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess no. I think that Philly is, it's a great place to start a rally, you know, the birthplace of liberty and everything else, swing state. But it could just as easily be, you know, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. It could be Mark Kelly from Arizona, because she's going to all those places that are swing states, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. All those states are in play. So Harris was in Atlanta last night and made sure that she called out Donald Trump for him saying that he might not debate her this fall. And basically in the exact words saying, you know, you've had a lot to say about me. Come say it to my face, which is about the most Gen X thing a presidential candidate could ever say.
Yeah.
Now that we have a Gen X presidential candidate. But I also appreciated that when she got to talking about the border and Republicans are trying to hit her on the border, you know, she made clear she understands who tanked the border bill. And she also understands that inflation wasn't the result of things the Biden administration had done, but has some more corporate roots. Here's Kamala Harris talking in Atlanta about what she would do about economic issues for middle-class families.
On day one, I will take on price gouging and bring down costs. We will ban more of those hidden fees and surprise late charges that banks and other companies use to pad their profits. We will take on corporate landlords and cap unfair rent increases. And we will take on Big Pharma to cap prescription drug costs for all Americans. Our plan will lower costs and save many middle-class families thousands of dollars a year. But Donald Trump, has a different plan in mind. One that would raise prices on middle-class families.
And the point Harris is going to make about that is that Donald Trump talks all the time about tariffs because he's got this very xenophobic, jingoistic plan that we're just going to go after those people, whether it's immigrants or foreign countries. But tariffs don't punish other countries. Tariffs raise prices on Americans when they go to buy these things at the store. Harris also is not taking any of the criticism about, you know, her role in helping with border security, because as she mentions here, there was a bill ready to do it, and we know who killed it.
So here is my pledge to you. As president, I will bring back the border security bill that Donald Trump killed, and I will sign it into law. Trump what real leadership looks like.
And that's exactly what it is. It's about showing leadership. There were a lot of compromises made for that bill. Meanwhile, the director of Project 2025, the right-wing policy blueprint for the next Republican president, is leaving after there was so much criticism about it that even former President Trump has had to pretend to be critical of it. But that's very tough for him to do, given that the director of Project 2025 has written a book, and the foreword of the book that's coming out shortly was written by J.D. Vance, his running mate, Trump's running mate, who wrote in the foreword, it's, quote, "time to circle the wagons and load the muskets." And he describes the ideas as an essential weapon in the fights that lie ahead, and said Project 2025 basically is
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head to a segment from Matinair On Air, where Jane and Greg spoke with Dr. Laura Hanks for another edition of Public Service Announcement this week. Hello, world. Where you been?
I've been waiting for you and your friends. Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, this Saturday from 8 until noon, the wonderful Waukesha Farmers Market's going on. Downtown Waukesha happens in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank right along the river in downtown Waukesha. I will be out there with David, our helper, from 8 until noon. Would love to see you. Would love to meet you. If you want to have a long chat at me, come on down. I'll be there for hours. I'll buy scones. We'll share a piece of a scone of peace. I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
I like where you went last time. Last hour, you said, "Say it to my face."
Well, if you want to talk to me, if you want to, you want to have a long conversation, I mean this very sincerely. I will be out there all morning, 8 until noon, Waukesha Farmers Market. I look forward to seeing you, and we're gonna have a prize wheel this time.
Ooh!
Yes, you can
scones of peace and a wheel of prize.
I'm telling you, and you can win like dinner, restaurant certificates, and stuff. It's gonna be great.
Oh, I think I.
So look for the Civic Media tent out there this Saturday from 8 until noon, the Waukesha Farmers Market. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcements. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Great to see you guys.
Good to have you with us. I got really, really angry last night.
What?
When I know I never get angry. That's not true. I was scrolling through Twitter, and USA women's rugby team medaled for the first time.
Yeah.
They got a bronze medal. Yeah, it was awesome. The final play was incredible. And then I started seeing some posts from one of the members of the USA women's rugby team, Ilona Marr, who has dealt with a lot of criticisms about her body.
I'd say bullying.
I think bullying is a good way to put it. Yeah. Calvin, let's play that clip number one from Ilona Marr. She's on the USA women's rugby team.
Hi, thank you for this comment. I think you were trying to roast me, but this is actually a fact. I do have a BMI of 30. Well, 29.3 to be more exact. I've been considered overweight my whole life. In middle school, elementary school, high school, I was always considered overweight. I remember vividly one time in high school, I had to turn in a physical to the office, and right at the bottom of the page, it said overweight. And I was so embarrassed to turn that in and to have that written there. So my whole life I've been this way. I chatted with my dietitian because I go off of, you know, facts and not just what pops up here, you know, like you do. And we talked about BMI, and we talked about how it really isn't helpful for athletes. BMI doesn't tell you much. It just tells you what your height and weight and what that equals. I've said it before, I'm 5'10", 200 pounds. And I have about, and this is an estimate, but about 170 pounds of lean mass on me. Do that math in your head. You probably can't. That's pretty crazy, right? And that BMI doesn't really tell you what I can do. It doesn't tell you what I do on the field, how fit I am. It's just a couple numbers put together. It doesn't tell you how much muscle I have or anything like that. So, yeah, I do have a BMI of 30. I am considered overweight. But alas, I'm going to the Olympics. And you're not.
I love her. I love her so much.
Where was she when I was in second grade? Seriously, just standing next to me every time someone just made fun of me like, oh yeah, David Kirschbaum, you're weird and your haircut's dumb.
You played rugby, Dr. Hanks.
I did. It's how I met my husband. It's how... it's actually one of the big reasons we wanted to move back to Madison. The other great part, I mean, there's so many great aspects of rugby, including body image, which we'll get into in a second, but the social world, the friends that you make playing rugby are just like no other. The rugby community just looks out for each other. Anytime someone moves into town and they message and say, hey, I'm new to town, I play rugby, it's like, automatically you have 30 people at your house moving your stuff in for you. You know, like I'm not joking. Like it is just it's a very special group of people. Some people might've heard the saying, sometimes we get compared to soccer and they'll say that soccer is a gentleman sport played by hooligans and rugby is a hooligan sport played by gentlemen. it's just true. And you know, to this clip was amazing, just kind of bringing it back to the whole body image thing. I think even as doctors, we kind of hate BMI. She's absolutely right. It's this obscure number. It's kind of the best we have to try to get an idea of risks for health, but in athletes, it's even more inaccurate with athletes, especially. My husband played Division I football, and his BMI has always been over 30, but he is, you know, 6'4" and 250 and just like muscle. So he's considered, you know, he has the thing that says that it's overweight. So it really just isn't helpful for athletes like this. Like she said, I mean, the things that she does on the field are just incredible. I mean, she runs over people literally and is so strong. So I'm glad. I mean, this is just like Greg said, like, I wish that we had this when we were growing up, because, you know, these people to look up to, and it makes me really hopeful that my kids have this instead of like People magazine with stick figures,
yes,
you know, and then like articles about how to lose weight to make your boyfriend happy. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
You know, we're changing.
There is a second clip from Ilona Maher. Again, she's on the USA women's rugby team, which just medaled for the first time in the Olympics. Yesterday, they won bronze. As strong as she is and as tough as she is, words hurt. This is another post she made yesterday. Calvin, let's play clip number two from Ilona.
I'm going to be very real here for a second. As you can probably tell, I've been crying a little bit. I always get these comments, but like recently it kind of ramped up was I get comments being called a man and being called masculine and asking if I'm on steroids. There will always be negative people out there, and they put women in a box and they think of women should be fragile and petite and quiet and meek, but that's not the case. Women can be strong and they can have broad shoulders and they can take up space and they can be big. I think I'm getting emotional because I feel very passionate about this. Don't let anybody try to define or dictate how you feel about yourself. You get to decide that.
She's brilliant. And I was, I was so angry. And when I get really angry, I cry. I was angry crying when I saw that yesterday, because it just infuriates me.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's infuriating. And, you know, I was reading an article too, with an interview with her, where she had been told all her life, because she's so strong, to maybe tone it down a little bit. Like, when she was growing up, she played fast pitch softball, and nobody could hit her pitches because she was so strong. And there was a grown man in the stands that told her to tone it down a little bit so the other girls could hit the ball. Exactly. And her father stood up for her and said, well, they, you know, that's their problem if they can't hit her. Like, this is fast pitch softball, and she's pitching fast. So you go work on your swings, I guess, which is really cool to have a father figure that stood up for her like that. And that she had that as well. But I mean, it's just, it's so, like, she's absolutely right. You know, was in our generation growing up of just like, you're supposed to be this feminine person. And so she's, you know, breaking that mold, breaking that glass ceiling and saying, like, I'm strong, smart. You know, she's a nurse. I think she has 2 college degrees. I think she's beautiful, like, you know, and it's just a redefining beauty and what that is. And my hat's off to her. I will say, it reminds me a lot of the Taylor Swift song called The Man. Just gotta throw that in there. If you haven't listened to the words, it kept coming up, and it's been like, you know, she talks about, you know, if I were a man, I'd be the man. No one would question me, and no one would question these things that, you know, how Taylor Swift has, like, built herself up. But it's very, like, relevant to this conversation too. It's like, they can't understand how this strong rugby player is so amazing. So she looks like a man. She's trying to be a man. You know, like, ridiculous. Just utterly ridiculous.
Dr. Hanks, you know, something for me is like this, you know, not a woman, not an athlete, but I am a person who has deep body issues, image issues. I have since I was a little boy. I did a whole podcast about it with a friend of mine, and we looked deep into the science of it all and how your body reacts and working out. And, you know, this American idea of, like, the Biggest Loser, well, I'm going to lose 200 pounds in 8 months. I'm like, well, that's unhealthy.
Absolutely.
But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the BMI. I want to go back to that for a second, because anyone who has a brain in their head knows that the BMI is kind of junk. It's just not a good indicator. So the question I have for you as a doctor is, at this point, how has it not been either thrown out completely, reworked, researched, or, you know, I know there are doctors out there who, like, don't worry about that. That's not important. But there are some, I mean, the amount of doctors who told me, like, well, if you just lost some weight, and that was their diagnosis. So is there, I don't want to say, is there a silver bullet, but is there something that's better than the BMI, or something that we can start teaching people how to at least track their health or something like that? I don't know. I'm leaving it to you, doctor.
Yeah. I know that there's a lot of different studies looking into it. There's ways to measure actual body fat, which I think is helpful for, especially for patients that are more muscular. The way that I will often talk with BMI with patients, you know, when I do have patients that might be more on the heavier side, we talk about, like, in my notes, I'll say, like, where the, like, distribution of that, like, extra tissue is. Mm-hmm. The reason that it's kind for me personally in my practice, why it's important is when I'm doing hysterectomies, if there's a lot of, like, central, we call it central adiposity or central fat tissue.
It's belly fat, right? It's belly fat.
Yeah. And that makes the surgery a lot harder. So it is relevant. And those conversations are really hard. And I talk to patients about, like, safety of surgery, safety of wound healing, why, you know, weight does matter in this particular context. And I've heard some heartbreaking stories, just like you were saying, Greg. Like, I had a patient just the other day who said, she had been trying to lose weight, and a previous doctor said, well, you're the one that puts the food in your mouth, you know, like, and it's just like, you know, like, that's not, okay, you know, and it's, and I really do, I still struggle with this conversation. Like a lot of times I'll say like, we do need to talk about weight because it is affecting your health, diabetes, high cholesterol. And again, going back to the surgical, if it's a surgical candidate, wound healing. And because the way that we do hysterectomies, patients have to be leaned back on their head in order to see down into the pelvis. So all of that weight can be pushed up onto their chest and give anesthesia trouble with them being able to breathe. So I just have a very big conversation about like, I'm not saying this to shame you, but I'm saying this because of like, I want to do the surgery the healthiest way. I want to treat you and like you moving forward, being healthy. I kind of I skipped around your question, Greg. I was apologize but the short answer is that I there is not like right now that's kind of the best tool we have.
Yeah.
I think that when patients go see nutritionists and stuff, they do more of that like body fat measuring, because I think I agree with you. I think that is more of an accurate indicator of if someone is trying to lose weight or be healthy or gain muscle or anything like that. Like that's going to be more accurate than a BMI number.
I still
and BMI just. I don't know if people know, it's just your height and your weight that are like put together and spit out a number.
I'm still trying to get past the fact that a man stood up when Ilona Maher was in a fast pitch game and told her to back off because his, can you imagine somebody, a man doing that for his son?
That would never happen.
No.
No.
Unreal. Unreal. I know. I mean, and that's like how I grew up. I remember being told to, I played varsity basketball in seventh grade, and I was told to
back off,
slow my roll.
We're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Laura Hanks, public cervix announcement. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connection, that's the focus. Celebrate when you rise to the moment. All across the globe, let me hear you say.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Rounding out this hour of Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the John and Gordy Show, where John and Gordy were joined by Rocker from Max Inc. Radio to preview this upcoming weekend's show.
WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, broadcasting from State Street, block away from the Capitol, the John and Gordy Family Show. Somebody texted and said, John is missing the point of the boys. It's a MAGA allegory. It is, actually.
Is it?
That is the other plot line.
Okay, yep. 7:35, time to welcome Rocker into the studio on this Friday. Good to see you, Rocker.
What's happening, John and Gordy?
You are, man.
Yes.
You are.
You're so happening.
Wow.
Yeah. Just want to say what a wonderful time it was last weekend at Atwood Fest.
Yeah.
It was just tremendous. And, you know, it was my first time there, and it was just, it was unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Did you get to stay for VO5?
No, I didn't.
I saw the crowd picture for that. Wow.
Yeah. I think it was our biggest crowd ever. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest Atwood Fest ever. I mean, absolutely amazing. All the bands performed spectacularly. Everything ran super smooth, and we had great weather despite the calls for rain.
Threats for rain.
You know what? It actually rained. It finally rained in the last 10 minutes of the last band.
Oh.
And it was like everybody was getting cleansed, right?
Yeah.
And it was super hot, so it was actually kind of welcoming. But it was a little, you know, tough on cleanup.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well,
but, you know, what can you do?
That's right. So let's fast forward here to Max Inc. weekend for this weekend.
Well, Max Inc. Radio this weekend, Max Inc. Radio, we are local music. That's 6 to 9 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday night. And actually, it's 6 to midnight, but 6 to 9, we're spinning local music, local artists, personalities, and interviews. And then 9 p.m., it's Live in the Lair. This week, we have Chad Anderson. He's just a local singer-songwriter. He's stepping up to come in and play some songs and tell us about what he does. And then Indie 45 and Max Inc. After Hours to finish off the night up till midnight. But let's get to what's happening around Madison. There's lots of stuff happening this weekend and coming up. You know, all the festivals are, boy, they're jamming, right?
Yep.
So we're going to be telling you about all the festivals for the next couple weeks while they start coming on. Tonight, though, let's start with some stuff that's happening around town. Tonight, Friday, August 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Red Rooster over on Seaforth Road off Stoughton Road, a classic three-man bill with Mother Material, Also Rans, and After August. After August, they're a five-piece rock band from Madison featuring all kinds of, they call themselves New Classic Rock.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
New Classic Rock.
I'd like to hear that.
Right? All right. So let's check out a little bit of After August. This is How Much Rain. This is from their new album just released in March, First Sign of Trouble.
That's a catchy song.
How
what
much
they need is a screaming guitar. That's what they need.
There's probably a solo. Of course, we can only pick out like a 1 minute segment out of everything.
Yeah.
Try and give you just a little taste of this music. But I was wondering, it's so apropos, right? How much can it rain?
Yeah,
I'm wondering that myself.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if I can take any more mosquitoes in my backyard.
What the heck, right?
So that's First Sign of Trouble, right?
First Sign of Trouble. Yeah, that is After August, and they'll playing at the Red Rooster Friday, August 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, guys, also tonight, Food Truck Fridays at Garver Feed Mill at 5 o'clock. I wanted to remind you of that because that's like happens every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get on to also something tonight is Frank Martin Bush and the Names. We've talked about the Edgewater Hotel and their Brewgrass Fridays. And so tonight, where Heartland Twang meets Modern Grip, that's Frank Bush and the Names tonight at the Edgewater. And Sunday, August 4th, that's at 3 p.m. at the Red Rooster, Ted Hefko. He is a Madison East graduate, and he lives and performs in New Orleans. So he's up here right now, and he's going to be playing at the Red Rooster. And I brought a little song. This is called Problems on My Knee. This is Ted Hefko and the Thousandaires.
Promise you I'll always be there. Baby, lay your problems on my knee. On my knee. On my knee. And I'll stay a little longer. Where you drift into your dreams. I'm gonna love you just a little bit stronger. You can always count on me.
Good stuff there. Ted Hefko.
Ted Hefko, yep. Madison East graduate. And he comes up here, you know, every now and then, but usually every summer around this time.
Yeah.
And he always gets a bunch of shows. And I thought it'd be neat, you know, he'll go see him because he'll be headed back to New Orleans.
Well, that's a really nice song.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of Thousandaires.
Gosh, there's a lot of those now.
Yeah.
Makes us all kind of wealthy, doesn't it?
Sure.
Oh, man. Also, tomorrow night, Saturday, August 3rd, 10 to 4 p.m., it is National Mustard Day. I don't know if you've ever been to the National Mustard Museum over there on Hubbard Avenue in Middleton.
Yeah, what a great place.
Oh, man, but they have mustard tasting stations.
Yes.
And if you wonder what a mustard tasting station is like, there's a lot of like little skinny pretzels, right? So you're dipping these skinny pretzels in all kinds of, you can't double dip, okay?
No.
But there's so many different mustards.
That's right down the street from where I live.
Yeah.
Oh, walking distance.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Walking distance. And they have tables all over the place with certain foods. I mean, you have hot dogs and pretzels.
Thousands of mustards.
And you get to try different kinds of mustard. Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic.
The hot ones. I love those. Yeah. I was actually a judge 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried, like, we had to try every one. Wow. I mean, it was baffling how many really there are. Yeah. You know? And this is
different flavors.
This is Mustard Central. We are the National Mustard Museum. So you got to check that out. Live music, contests, games, food, refreshments. It's free admission. So check mustardmuseum.org for more information.
And then stop by the house.
Good stuff. Yeah, go over to John's house. Yeah, what's your address?
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/show. Shows.